And we're just waiting for your word to feed our souls. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you guys want to read the Amplified from verse 16, I guess, then?
Yeah. How far do you want to go?
Well, why don't we go down to about... Let's do about five verses. So from 16, that'd be 21. Let's go to about 21. We'll do five verses. And if we need to do more than that, we'll do more than that.
Okay. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral excellence, and your praiseworthy, noble, good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to do away with or undo the law or the prophets. I have come not to do away with or undo, but to complete and fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until the sky and the earth pass away and perish, not one smallest letter nor one little book identifying certain Hebrew letters will pass from the law until all things it foreshadows are accomplished. Whoever then breaks or does away with or relaxes one of the least important of these commandments and teaches men, so shall be called least important in the kingdom of heaven. But he who practices them and teaches others to do so shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness, your uprightness, and your right standing with God is more than of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not kill, or whoever kills shall be liable to and unable to escape the punishment imposed by the courts. That's the 21. Let me go further.
Did you go down to 21?
Yeah, I went to 21.
Yeah.
Now we can just stop there. We can discuss some of these first. Okay. That first one there, let your light shine so that before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, we know that the scripture says that Jesus was the light, but it also says He and in the Gospel of John, we'll read it. So just so we, in the Gospel of John, it talks about. It says, in verse 2, it says, well, it might as well start with 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Mm-hmm. So, if His life was the light of men, that means that every man has that light inside of them, whether they acknowledge it or recognize it or not, they do have it, you know. And, you know, I believe that He tells us in other portions of Scripture that we are the light. He was the original light, you know, in that sense. But He came to reveal to us that we had that same light inside of us. And he basically tells us that a city set on a hill can't be hidden, you know, and that's because you see the lights, you know. And, you know, we are the light, and He tells us to let our light so shine that men see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. You know, so, and in Proverbs it tells us that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, you know, and we know that a candle is basically to give off light, and, you know, anybody got anything they want to say about any of that? You know, the funny thing about it is when you think about it, when we were little kids, one of the first songs that we'd learned when you went to Sunday school, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And you know what? That is a tremendous truth. And if anybody ever really got a hold of that and actually functioned in it, you know, in the sense of acknowledging that light and constantly acknowledging that light. And basically, what is the light, what is the difference between light and darkness? Darkness is just the absence of light. And, you know, we know that I've told this story before about when I was a little kid, used to hang our clothes on the bedpost at night, you know. Because the apartment we lived in didn't have no closets. We had those shifter robes, they called them shifter robes, and that's, you opened them up and you hung stuff in there, but they weren't very big. So you really couldn't, when he was a little kid, back in our day, we didn't have a lot of clothes. You had, you know, two or three pair of pants and maybe two or three shirts or something like that. That was about it, you know. But when you go to bed at night, I just hang my clothes on the end of the bedpost. And a lot of times a baseball hat there. In the darkness, I woke up different times and I can remember it like it was yesterday. I'd wake up in the darkness sometimes and think there's somebody standing at the end of the bed and be afraid. Well, sometimes I wouldn't go back to sleep when I was real little. And eventually the light would break through. The day would start to dawn and the light would break through. And then I would see it for what it really was, and the fear was dissipated. And that's really what the light of God does in our lives. When we acknowledge the light, it dissipates the fear and it dissipates the things that aren't real. And it brings us into a place of reality, seeing things for what they really are, you know, not what we sometimes perceive them to be, you know. And, you know, that's why we even need to pray that God would give us, you know, the five spiritual senses, and that we would function in them more than we function in the five natural senses. Five natural senses are wonderful, but they can be deceived. The five spiritual senses are they're godly. You can't be deceived in that, you know. But anyway. So that's all I had to say about that verse. Does anybody else got anything? Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to say that I think there's no greater place for the light of Christ to shine within us than in the darkness of the world.
All right.
And that means fellowshipping with people that don't know Christ yet.
Yeah.
And because, you know, otherwise we're hiding from people.
Yeah.
That's the truth. I mean, we're hiding from people if we don't fellowship with other people. They don't have to be of the faith.
Right.
Who won you to the faith? I mean, what person that before you were saved that you looked at and admired and thought, there could be something about this, or that's real. And I don't have that. I want that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so that had to happen to everyone sitting here at one time.
Mm-hmm.
I think of that every time I go visiting the ladies. I mean, I just listen and I go like, it's okay. And I sit there and I pray a lot. I said, Lord, let me say only what you want me to say.
That's a good thing to do.
You know, when somebody tells you about, you know, their lives and things going on, there's one lady there, she's very special. She doesn't complain, but everybody else talks about her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a lot of ailments. I mean, a lot. And she says, well, you know, she said, her words are, I always give every day to the Lord. And she said, and do with that day whatever you want. She said, that's not just talking about me. She actually says, that's talking about all of you. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm thinking, well, this is good. I can fellowship with that. I identify light with that. And I told her yesterday, because she had been, like I said, pretty bad off. And she was there, and I went down there, and I said, it was worth coming here just to meet you today.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
The ladies is a group that sits around in one lady's garage, and they just talk. One bunch of ladies and occasionally another man. Just
they're all in their 80s.
Yeah, that's great.
Except for one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So he blesses them and they bless him.
Right. I was reading scriptures one day and I don't know where it is, and apparently don't know how to use the search function on my Bible app, but it was talking about this light affliction. And that's, you know where that is?
I think it's in Corinthians. I can get it for you in just a second.
Anyhow, I thought, light affliction, that's what I've got because I'm too heavy. But then it came to me, you can have a light affliction in the manner of you don't have, you're not enlightened by God's word. And
2 Corinthians 4:17, 18.
Yeah, it was in Corinthians. I just didn't know exactly where.
Anyway. Thanks.
But for a moment, works a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory.
Yeah, I like that. But I also like what that just said for a lifetime.
Yeah, and it's spelled LIGHT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's more than one way to have a light affliction.
Well, you know, they actually know that, I mean, I think it's scientifically proved that if you put somebody in a dark place and keep them there too long, you know, they get depressed and they get sick and they get all kinds of things go wrong with them, you know. Even in the natural, when we go outside every day, you know, people don't do it as much as they should. But your vitamin D comes through the sun coming through your skin and through your eyes. Mm-hmm. And everybody wears all these blocking glasses. But to be honest with you, you need to take your glasses off once in a while and let that hit your eyes, because most of the vitamin D you get comes through your eyes.
There's also that seasonal affective disorder, which is due to lack of sunlight.
Yeah.
There's a guy when I worked at Longview that had that, one of the clients.
Yeah.
And they got him a hat, it's a ball cap, and it had little lights under the bill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did that help him?
Yes.
Cool.
My brother, he was terrible. I guess his eyes were sensitive to light or something. But you go in his office or something, he wouldn't have the lights on. First thing I do when I walk in the door, I flip on the lights. Not to aggravate him. I don't like going in dark rooms, you know. I like to be able to see what I'm doing, you know. See where I'm going. And, you know, Margaret sometimes will be watching television sitting in the family room, or the family room, I guess you call it. And she'll be in the dark. Well, first thing I do when I walk in there, I turn the light on. even though you got light coming from the television, I don't like sitting in the dark, you know. And not that I'm afraid of the dark, I'm not afraid of it, but I don't like it, you know. I like light, you know. I turn on lights in any room I go in, you know.
You know, I heard yesterday from one of the ladies, she had to walk her dog because her dog was in the house being depressed over having staying there with the gloomy of the day and the rain and stuff like that. Actually wanted to go outside. When she said, "You want to go outside?" she beat her down the steps.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's
like, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
well, look at even bugs and stuff at night. When you turn on the light, what happens? Right there to it, you know. They go right to that light, you know. And there's a natural thing even in nature to where most things don't like the dark, you know. They want to be drawn to the light, the majority of things, you know. And you know, okay, anybody else on anything on 16? Okay, let's go to 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill. And you know, the perfect fulfillment of the law was grace, and it was mercy, and it was love. You know, that's the perfect fulfillment. Because, let's face it, if you love somebody, you're not going to steal from them. If you love somebody, you're not going to bring false witness against them. You shouldn't, you know. If you love somebody, you're not going to commit adultery with them, you know. because you love God more than you love that person, you know. And, you know, so when you realize that he came to fulfill, because he was the total fulfillment of the law, really, when it gets right down to it, we can't fulfill the law in our own strength. We have to function in the grace and the mercy of God, because, you know, we just don't have the ability to do that, because we have the Spirit in part at this point. We don't have the fullness of the Spirit. Yeah, go ahead.
I know I'm not supposed to do this because it doesn't say add anything to it or take anything away.
Right.
But those last three words where it says, but to fulfill, and I'm sitting here thinking, in you.
Yeah.
In you.
Sure.
That's the fulfillment of it. It's in you.
Right.
It's not someday down the road. It's in you. Of course, it doesn't say in the very next line, Verily I say unto you.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing about it. You have to realize that he said not one jot or one tittle, whatever a tittle is.
I heard something on
until they all be fulfilled.
The computer the other day, and it reminded me of this. It's you know that Trey Smith? He has all these books out. Anyway.
Oh, no, yeah.
The jot and tittle is like dotting your I's and crossing your T's.
Right. Okay, well, there you go. And you know what? Like I say, if you function in love, you're going to fulfill the law without trying to fulfill the law. You know, without, you know, you putting a lot of effort into it. You know, because if you love, if Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, and that new commandment was that we love one another as he loved us, you know. And the whole fulfillment of the law is a functioning of love. And when we function in love, we're going to fulfill the law, even with everybody we deal with, you know.
But he broke it down to just those two. Way back two. In the Old Testament, right. Like 300 and something.
Well, they added a lot of those themselves.
Yeah. But they kept bringing then and less and less and that. And then Christ said.
You can't fulfill that law of love in yourself.
No,
it has to be the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, that's like that Corinthians, the 13th chapter, that definition of love, you know, beautiful definition. But you in yourself cannot do that. And we all quote that to people when we do a marriage ceremony, usually, you know. And, you know, you in yourself can't really fulfill that. It takes the love of God. That's the perfect law of love when you read that. And
it's him.
Please.
It's him.
Yeah, it's him.
Because when I was sharing and when I spoke, and God was showing me, when I was reading Beatitudes and then reading the Corinthians 13. Yeah. It's him. It's him, and it's him in us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly.
It is.
Oscar.
Yeah.
There's a note there that says to go to Romans 10:4, and it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. You know, I love the scripture because it always talks about believing. You know, it'll, really, we're guided by what we believe.
Yeah.
I'm glad we believe in
the Holy Spirit. I was trying to get to the Living translation of that. It's great in the Living of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know. I've got one of them in here if I can get to it. This stupid thing is throwing up games and stuff on me here.
Do you know, before Betty was getting so she was having trouble communicating, you know, with us, because when she had her example, she just kept trying to tell us, and I know God was showing her, she kept talking about complete. And I know this is a word she just kept saying to us, and that. And I could tell her, God was showing her something in completeness, because she just kept saying that and trying to give it to us. Me and Sue, you know. Yeah.
You think in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the whole chapter?
Well, it's the one, it's the part about love. Here it is. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting with verse 4. It's love. It says, love is very patient, kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. Oh my God. I wish we were all functioning in that, because what would this world be? It'd be so beautiful. I mean, it would just be beautiful all the time, you know. But it's going to take the fulfillment of the love of God in us to ever come to that place, you know, where we really love like that, you know. Because there is times when occasionally we'll find ourselves being a little boastful about something, or we'll find ourselves being a little selfish or a little proud. And we all get irritable once in a while, or touchy, you know. You know, don't hold any grudges. I mean, my goodness. And we'll hardly even notice when others do it wrong. Wow.
Let's answer that question. Let's answer it. I think the body can answer that question. Yeah. We would probably be in a world that hasn't any disease.
Right.
Because every one of us would be thinking about, by his stripes we are healed.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd probably live in a world where death has ended. Where does it say that world does exist? Where is that world?
Well,
in heaven, ain't it?
In the realm of the spirit, yeah.
That means we'd be functioning in the spirit.
Yeah. Well, that's what I say. I mean, you know, when he came, we know what did it say about, for God did what? He so loved what?
The world
that he gave his only begotten son. That was the ultimate expression of love, and he came in the person of Jesus Christ, because Jesus even said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Mm-hmm. You know, well, when you really realize who I am, you know, and what I'm doing, because he was showing the love of God continuously. That didn't mean he wasn't correcting, or he didn't occasionally rebuke somebody when they were totally out of line, but it was mainly the religious folks that he rebuked. It wasn't the sinners. I mean, you know, they think about people who you call sinners. They know they're a sinner. They know their life ain't right. They don't have to tell them that. They know it. You know, they know that they've got problems. But what we need to do is show them the love of God. That's an alternative to that. You know, and as we show them the love of God, then their lives will be changed. You know.
I think that's exactly why they've been put in our lives.
All right.
Can I read the 6th and 7th verse here?
Sure.
It says, it is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out.
Uh-huh.
If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost.
Uh-huh.
You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him.
Uh-huh.
On in Amplified, it says, it does not rejoice in injustice and right. unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, and is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its right. hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening.
That's good.
You know what that prepares us to do? It actually prepares us to start hearing bad things about people. Because it says, according to what you just read, it says that, basically it says everything but we're going to hear. But what brings us to do that or feel that way? I believe it's hearing injustice about people, hearing right. how they motivate or how they're motivated and stuff like that. I go like this. I said, I know every one of us look in the mirror. I don't look in it enough, but I know we look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And looking in the mirror, a lot of times, we'll go from just a straight face, and we might start smiling because God's actually shown us. He said, I have a sense of humor. Look in that mirror. And he's wanting us to rejoice because it's not what we see, it's what we don't see. And that's what his word declares. It says not what we're going to see, but what we don't see. I mean, the Bible says we don't see God.
Well, see, there again, too, one of the things is that, you know, love will cover a multitude of sins. And even when we see a person overtaken in a fault or even in what we call sin or whatever, we should want to cover them, not expose them. You know what I'm saying? Remember what happened with Noah when the ark landed? And the one son went in and he exposed his father's nakedness. And because he did that, there was a curse placed upon him, basically. Mm-hmm. The other brothers went in backwards so that they wouldn't see their father's nakedness and carried the thing and covered him over. Because he was actually drunk is what it was, you know. And they covered him. And you know, all of these stories in the Bible, they're not just nice little stories, but there's just such deep principles there if we would just see them and understand that, you know, when we, you know, even when all the stuff goes on in religion sometimes and you see some of these people really getting into some bad error, you know what I mean? And I mean, you know, when that stuff went on with PTL years ago and all that stuff with Jim Baker and all that, mm-hmm. what the Christian community should have done is tried to cover him with love, not a lot of accusations and abuse and everything else.
Well, God used one man to do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're talking about that one with T.D. Jakes that time? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about Billy Graham.
Billy Graham went and seen him in prison. Yeah.
And
Clyde had a really good tape on that one time.
Oh, man. That just...
Yeah.
How... I mean, Billy Graham, I know he was a pastor, but you know what? He's part of the body of Christ.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I mean, and the body of Christ, you know, over the years we've learned, I mean, we really have learned, the body of Christ is an active body.
Yeah.
I would not want to think of what the world would be without the active body of Christ. Yeah. People that give you encouragement and hope. And say it will get better. I mean, things that, you know, and why do we go through things? Mm-hmm. Don't you think we go through things so we can pass that on to somebody else? I mean, you know.
It makes me smile what you're saying about the active body of Christ, because I'm going to tell you a joke when we get out there. It fits right in with that person. You know.
I set him up. That's
why. You did. It's funny how God coordinates things, and he does. I mean, you know, but we should expect him to coordinate things.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We really should.
And you look at Billy Graham, yeah. And you look at different ones that have went on that have fulfilled what God has for them. And we're all not the same. We're all not seeing the same. We're all not learning the same. We're all not expressing and knowing the same, but each of us make up one another.
Well, I think that really fulfills here a little, there a little.
Yes.
I mean, we're all parts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, see, the thing is that's where each one of us, and I'm talking about everybody in the body of Christ, has to fulfill what God has called them to do.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And if he's called you to be a Billy Graham, Billy Graham was the best Billy Graham he knew how to be.
That's right.
And, you know, he loved people, and you could tell he loved people. And he wasn't real judgmental towards people or anything like that. And, I mean, he did the little things. And the little things, Scripture tells you not to despise the day of little things.
That's right.
You know? And if you don't do the little things, you're not going to do the big stuff. You just aren't. If you don't have the foundation of doing the little things, of showing love to people, of treating people good, of forgiving people when they hurt you or do something that you feel like you know, bothered you or whatever, then you know, it's going to be hard for you to ever to come and sit in judgment. If the saints are going to judge the world like the scripture says, you know, and I know everybody talks about what it says in Revelations about a white throne judgment and all that stuff, but also it says in scripture that the saints will judge the world, and they're even going to judge angels, you know. And if you're going to judge the world, you're going to have to judge it with the same love, the same mercy, the same forgiveness that was extended to you.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you what, anything less than that, you're not worthy to judge the world, you know. And we're not none really worthy in our own self. It has to be in the love of God, an expression of his love. But that has to be a growth thing that we
right.
that we grow into. That's the one thing that sometimes a lot of people, you get the impression that they think that they've already arrived or right there, you know. Well, I'm telling you what, I hope God changes me. I hope he changes me a lot before he's finished with me, because I need to be changed in areas. I know I do, you know.
You know, I think sometimes people forget we're the clay.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, my goodness.
Yeah.
I can say it today, shape me and mold me.
Yes.
Right.
Into thy will. I mean, it's a daily process, but I think it's also a daily believing and trusting in
right.
his
and,
plan.
And to even fulfill being it. The clay, what does a potter do? He puts a lump of clay up there that's wet.
Right.
You know, it's wet. But also he keeps wetting his hands, you know, as he's doing stuff, you know. If he don't keep his hands wet, he can't really cause the clay to mold into
right.
what he wants it to mold into. So it's clay and it's water. But the thing about it is there comes a time when that vessel has been completely completed that it has to go into a kiln.
Mm-hmm.
What happens in the fire? What's taken out of it then?
All the water.
All the water. Mm-hmm. Why? So that you can pour it water into it. The fullness of the water, because if you try to pour the water into it before it goes into the fire, guess what? It'll sag and just fall
down
in a big lump. It'll be worse than what you started with. It'll basically just be mud, you know, laying there. So, you know, even the simplest of truths, you know, when he sent Jeremiah down to the potter's house and said, you know, am I not the potter and you're the clay, basically is what he told him. He said, you know, and we can't even question what God's doing when he's forming another vessel. Sometimes somebody's mean, and God's allowing them to be mean. I mean, he ain't making them mean, but he's allowing them to be mean to work on you, maybe, or to work on me, or to work on somebody else, or whatever. I mean, what did he say about Pharaoh? He said, for this very cause, he raised up Pharaoh.
He was created.
He hardened
that
Pharaoh's heart.
Right.
I mean, I mean, a lot of people just don't understand that God's in control of this stuff way, way more than what we think he is at times, you know, it really is. And thank God that he is, because if we were controlling it at this point, I think we'd be in a big mess, you know.
I read a statement somewhere this weekend where I was saying that God, it's that God, he doesn't, you know, because some of us think we're qualified, you know.
Yeah.
But it says he doesn't call them qualified, but he qualifies those that he's called.
That's right. Yeah.
And,
you know, I don't even think he calls the complete, because, and I mean complete as far as we think it's completed.
Right.
And he goes like, oh no. I love when he said, I don't know which one it was, but when he was talking to him and said, you know, I've done this and I've done this. And he said, oh, I'm not bowing down. He said, well, I got 7,000 more of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like he was the only one. And I'm going like, sometimes people think they're the only one. But you know what I found out? In the Lord, we all suffer basically the same way.
Yeah. Well, think about even what went on with Moses. You know, Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. So he had knowledge and he had the best of the teachers that were available and everything else. But when he had his encounter with God, What was his reply when God told him he was going to send him back to Pharaoh to let his people go?
Who am I?
Who am I? That I should go to the Pharaoh? In other words, he had come from somebody up here that would have thought, yeah, man, I know the Pharaoh, I know all his stuff. You know, he had come from that all the way down to here where he said, who am I? And he basically said, I can't even hardly talk, you know. And that's why he gave him Aaron, so Aaron could be his voice, you know. And he chooses the foolish to confound the wise. And that's where a lot of people make a big mistake, even in the ministries out there. You know, looking at the ministries out there, somebody can be just a beautiful orator that they can just, oh man, they can just turn you upside down with the way they talk and everything and the things that they say. But you know what? He chooses the foolish to confound the wise. You know, he chooses those who don't have a high opinion of themselves because they have a high opinion of him, you know.
Yes.
And you know, the things of the natural are just not, they don't work in the things of the spirit in that sense. I mean, in the natural, the more education you get, the more schooling you have and all that kind of stuff, boy, you're way up there, you know, usually. But I'm telling you what, in the spirit, that's not like that.
Do you know, Buddy's oldest brother, James, very smart, very smart, and God was dealing with his heart. Mm-hmm. But he had all this knowledge, and he would talk and tell. I'm telling you, when God got really hold of him,
yeah.
Betty and I would talk to him on this before he passed, and he lived in California. And he would share things that God was, we were rejoicing because there was not this intellectual, smart guy.
Right.
He was really smart, wasn't he? But really educated, really, he had the jobs he's had and what he's done. But he makes me almost want to cry. It was so beautiful.
We're getting
Betty be on one phone and I'd be on, and the three of us would be talking. And he would be sharing what God was, and we were rejoicing.
Right.
What God was speaking to him, showing him, right. Going in him before he passed.
We had to have a brokenness to do that.
Oh,
you know, God took the foolish things to confound the wise, and he made the simple things.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Well, that's the one thing about that. You have to come to the place to where you realize that there's no big eyes and little eyes in the Lord. You know, what when he talks about the body, you know, every part of your body is just as essential as the other part. You know, I mean, a lot of people have ugly feet, you know, because we hide them in our shoes, you know what I mean? You know, and but you know what? Cut your foot off and try to get around. You just can't do it. Lose a couple toes and try to get around very good. You won't get around very good. I used to play ball with this guy that he ran a lot more over his foot and he lost a few toes on his foot. I think he lost his big toe and a couple other toes. And Larry played third base and he was really good within 2 or 3 feet of third base. When he farther than that, he couldn't get there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any ball hit around him or almost right at him, mm-hmm. he'd eat it up no matter how hard you hit it. But and when he'd run to bases, he kind of loped, you know, running and stuff. And all because he lost a couple toes, you know. And you think, well, sometimes your toes can be the ugliest thing on your body because some people will have, you know, fungus and all kind of stuff going in their toenails and things, you know. But you cut any part of your body off, and I tell you what, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss
it. That's because the balance is gone.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people don't realize. I still think that though we be small in numbers,
yeah,
that doesn't deplete the strength that we have in Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, he chose the things, you know. We're looking at things and we're looking at them through, still, I think, through a glass darkly.
Yeah.
you know, when we start looking through the eyes of Christ, we'll see things as they're seen, as they are supposed to be. And we'll start calling those things that aren't as though they are.
Well, think about that word even, get glass darkly. If you see a glass darkly, you know, and it's dark, literally dark in a glass, you can observe the darkness, or you can observe what you see in that glass darkly. What you really see in that glass darkly is a reflection of yourself, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, when we come to realize that that's what he's called us to be, as a reflection of him, you know. That let that light inside of you break to the outside, you know. And because that light in you is him. It is him. It is his nature. It's the Spirit of God inside of you, you know. But that glass darkly, like I say, you could stand back and just look at the glass darkly, how dark it is, and just observe the darkness, or you can look and focus on what you're actually seeing, and you can see a reflection of yourself in there, you know. And that's that. I love that portion of scripture in the Old Testament where he just called Israel the apple of his eye, you know. And that word for apple back there literally means the little man of the eye. The only way you see the little man of the eye is when you get up in the face of somebody else and look in their eye, and you see yourself in their eye, you know. Beautiful, Lord. I mean, the Word of God is so good. I mean, it's so simple. It's really, really simple. But most of the time, we look right past it and don't even see it sometimes, you know. But that's why a lot of times he gives these simplistic, simple type things to people. You know, I know one time the Lord spoke to me years ago, and he told me he was going to show me something I'd never seen before. And I questioned him about it. And I went back and prayed three different times. And the third time I went back and I said, Lord, what are you going to show me? And I felt like he said, the simplicity that's in Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, the word started getting simpler and simpler and simpler after that. And it's not real complicated, you know. People make it complicated sometimes, but it's really not. It's very simple. Okay, we want to go on a little bit farther, or we want to quit? We'll take one more verse and we'll just talk about it a little bit. You actually brought in 18, where we talked about, verily I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. We basically covered that. So we'll be down to 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Well, like I say, the really fulfillment of the law is the love. If you function in the love of God, you're going to fulfill the law, and you're going to do it without having to have some written thing. You know, something I'm going to share when we get back out there, and I'll just say it here. Yeah, just a little. I'll just tell you a little bit about it. Over in Iran, there's Christian people in Iran. There's a lot more Christian people than people think over there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to share you something about that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more Christian people over in Iran than we think there is, and they're not allowed to have a Bible. Now think about that. They're not allowed to have a Bible, so they can't really. You know, they can't really read the word. So what? How does God have to speak to them? Through the living word.
Yeah.
Yes.
Through, you know, it's like that story I told about a time about the missionary that was shipwrecked on that island, you know, And these other missionaries came, and he didn't talk to them about Jesus. He just loved them and showed them the love of God and all this kind of stuff. He didn't really mention Jesus. And when they came, they said, well, they were going to teach these natives about Jesus. And they started telling them about it. And he said, well, we know him.
Oh, yeah. He's been living here. He's living here, you know, basically.
And they said, well, you want to see him? They said, yeah. They took him over there, and it was that missionary that had been missing forever. But he was showing them the love of God.
Oh, yes.
I tell you what. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life, you know.
Yes.
And this book is a dead book without the Spirit revelation of God in it, you know. And you can't fulfill it in your own strength, and you can't fulfill it in your own willpower or whatever. It has to be the Spirit of God working in you to bring it to fulfillment, you know. Well, praise the Lord. Anybody else got anything they want to say before we quit? Okay, well, we'll quit. Glad you're closing the word of prayer for us.
Precious Lord, we thank you, Lord, for,
yes.
Lord, we move and we breathe, and it's in your time that we even have understanding of your word and your ways. So, Father, we just pray, Lord, for the rest of the congregation that they have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit would say, and, Lord, they would just take a deep breath in your presence,
yes.
Because your word declares, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Yes.
So, Father, be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.